All right. Well, good morning, church. Sure is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. My heart has already been stirred by what I've heard, what I've seen, and getting to fellowship with each and every one of you is such a blessing. Pastor Helms talked to me about coming and kind of covering for him while he was traveling a few months ago, and just was excited to get to come and see and be a part of the work here in Craig, and so good to be with you this morning. If you got your Bible, let's go to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. I love the book of Genesis and the Sunday school lesson this morning, going through the book of Genesis. I think it's one of my favorite books of the Bible. Then I read a different book, and then that becomes my favorite book. So you know how that goes. But I just love the beginning and how God set everything up. And you know, as you study your Bible, there are some interesting things. The law of first mention is kind of a big thing in the Bible. And there's so many different doctrines and topics that God will give us in the book of Genesis that really kind of sets the tone for the rest of the Bible. And so I love this book. Again, thank you for allowing me to come and just be here to minister to you a little bit. I have a wife and three kids in Juneau. And my oldest is Catherine. She's 4 years old. And then Jake is 2 years old. My daughter Emily is 6 months old. She was born in Juneau. And we're just so blessed to be able to serve the Lord here in Alaska. We just moved up in December of last year. And so we're kind of new to the area. And but we've got a good church in Juneau that we're attending. Pastor Joe Mishler and Lighthouse Baptist Church there. The church that Andy Hall planted back a long time ago. Our heart's desire is to see churches planted throughout Southeast Alaska. So we're working in the community of Hoonah right now and trying to see a work planted there. We're using a boat to get over to Hoonah. And so I don't know if the Lord eventually will have us move over there. I think that'd be the best case scenario. But my calling is not to be a pastor. My calling is to be a missionary evangelist. So when, Lord willing, if we see a church planted in Hoonah, our goal will be to go and plant another one. And then after that's done, go plant another one. And we just have a desire for the people here in Southeast Alaska that they would have a gospel preaching church to go to. I couldn't imagine living in a community where you can't wake up on a Sunday morning and go hear the gospel preached. But there's a lot of people that wake up that way every Sunday morning, especially here in Alaska. And we're very burdened for those people. So Genesis chapter 9 in your Bible, I'll probably say a little bit more about that, but really I just want to be a help to you out of the Word of God this morning. And to be honest with you, I need the Word of God. I need to hear good preaching, and so I wish there was someone here that could help out with that, but you know, we'll just take what the Lord gives us. So Genesis chapter 9 in your Bible, and this is the story of Noah. You're probably familiar with this, but I want to take a little thought out of here, then we'll look at some things in the book of Exodus. But Genesis chapter 9, verse number 8, the Bible says this, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. The word I want to talk a little bit about this morning is the word token. We see it two times in verse number 12, and God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you." And then in verse number 17, and God said unto Noah, "This is the token of the covenant which I've established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." And so I guess you could say the title maybe of this message is "A Token for You." A token for you. Let's pray and we'll get started this morning. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us this morning. God, it would be so vain for us to come to church and not desire the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would be in our midst this morning. Lord, I have nothing good that I can give to anybody. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But Lord, we look to the power of your word. We look to the power of God this morning to be able to speak to hearts. Lord, my mouth and my voice can speak to ears, but we desire that you would speak to hearts. So Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, that you would give us an ability to hear the inaudible voice. Lord, would you speak to folks this morning? Father, I pray for Pastor Helms this morning, Lord, that you'd be with him where he's at, he and his family. Watch over, protect them, be with them this morning. And Lord, would you bring them home safely to this church family? Father, we love you this morning. We pray you'd bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thought here is a token. And as I read this little word token, I actually read it in another place that we'll get to in a little bit. But I got to thinking about some of the things in my childhood. And maybe you remember if you've ever been to a place where they had a token. And I got to thinking about Chuck E. Cheese. Anyone ever been to Chuck E. Cheese? You poor, deprived people on this island, you kids, you may not know what Chuck E. Cheese is, okay? But you do? Okay, good. Some of you do. When I grew up, we had a Chuck E. Cheese not far from us. And, we'd go to Chuck E. Cheese. And, of course, we were so poor, you know, you'd put a quarter in the slot and out would come a token. Or you'd put a dollar in the slot and out would come a token. Or you'd put $5 in the slot and out would come 20 tokens. I never saw a 10 or a 20 or anything like that. That's as far as we went, was $5. But so I don't know what happened if you put $10 in there. But when you put a 5 in, 20 tokens would come out. And we'd go to Chuck E. Cheese, and you'd get those tokens. And on those tokens was the image of where you were. That mouse was on the token. And, you'd go and you'd eat pizza because that's what you do at Chuck E. Cheese. And that was always very special for us. And then, you know, there'd be a show. And, I mean, as Baptists, this was the closest thing I'd ever been to a concert, you know, was this show that, you know, Mickey Mouse would come out and they'd put on a rock concert. And, I mean, my parents would probably like, no, let's go play some games right now, you know, because we can't watch the rock concert. But you know, we really enjoyed Chuck E. Cheese. And every now and again, we'd forget to spend all of our tokens at Chuck E. Cheese. So we'd go home and, you know, mom would do the laundry or whatnot. And a day or a week or a year or 10 years later, you'd find those Chuck E. Cheese tokens laying around, you know. And you pick up that token and you'd look at the inscription on it and you know where that token was from. Because that token bears the mark of the maker, of where it's from. And God says to his people here, "I'm going to give you a token." And I want to talk about some tokens this morning that God gave to his people. And I hope it will be a help to you. But you know, when you think about a token, you think about where that token was produced. Where it came from. What it reminds you of. And a token is made to remind you of something. It's made for you to have in your possession, but it bears the inscription of where it's from and who provided it. And it's to remind you about that person or that place. And it signifies that that's where that token belongs, is in that place. I have a little token here with me, and I found it in pastor's office. I was looking for a token. I found a penny. And it had Abraham Lincoln's inscription on it, or his, you know, image on it. But then I lost it, like we do with all pennies. And then I was in pastor's study, and I found this little Canadian $2 bill, $2 coin. And Now, I'm not going to preach on Canada because I know that would offend some people in here. Canada's a wonderful place. But, you know, it's got Queen Elizabeth II's inscription on it. And then it's got a polar bear on the back. And, you know, I don't know what that's all about, but I'm sure it's significant to Canadians. And so, but I know where this coin, where this token is from because of the inscription on the token. It lets me know who it's from and where it's from. This token doesn't work very good here in America. But you take it back to the country where it's from, and it has some value there. And that's what a token is. Those Chuck E. Cheese coins, they do no good outside of Chuck E. Cheese. But you go to Chuck E. Cheese, and you could play a game with that thing. And I want to talk a little bit about a token this morning. God told Noah here in Genesis chapter 9, he says, Noah, I'm going to put my bow in the sky. And to every generation, it will be a token that I will never destroy the earth by flood again. You know, we live in a beautiful place here in Southeast Alaska, and already on my trip here, I've seen several rainbows. And every time I see that rainbow, I can't help but think about this passage. I can't help but think about a God who did destroy this earth with a flood, but he saved 8 souls. And he saved those animals on the ark. And he gave them a covenant, a promise, a token. He would never do it again. He gave them a token that they would see for generation after generation. And when kids would ask, Mommy, Daddy, look up there in the sky. Those who knew would be able to tell their children, let me tell you about what God did and what that means. And that token is still in the sky today, 6,000 years later, where we can look and go, that's the promise that God made to Noah when the earth was flooded. That's an amazing token that God has given us. I hope when you see that rainbow, you thank God for his goodness to this earth. I hope you thank God for keeping his covenant. You know, the token, if you took the token back to where it was from and they said, sorry, that's no good here, you'd think pretty lowly of that place because you have a token that should be good. But if they said, nope, sorry, we don't accept that here anymore, you'd think, well, what kind of token is this? You know, we have a God who never forgets his tokens. He never forgets his promises. It's always good. You can always take it to the bank. There's 2 tokens here I want to look at with you. Look, if you would, at Exodus chapter number 12. There's 2 tokens that God gave to his people in the book of Exodus that I want to encourage you with this morning that I hope will be a help to you. You know, every now and again, we need to be reminded of the tokens that God has for us. If we're not careful, we'll forget what God has done for us. You know, we as human beings, we're forgetful people. We forget often the things that God has done for us. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, I think one of the tokens that he would give to his disciples is he would do a miracle. And I think his disciples would soon forget that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah. But then he would give them a token, he'd give them a sign, he'd do a miracle. And they would remember again that this is the Messiah. Sometimes as I read that New Testament and I look and say, man, those silly disciples, they forget so often that Jesus is the Christ. But then in my life, it's the same way. How soon I forget that God is real, that God loves me, that God is not just pushing me through this life and saying, figure it out on your own. But no, he's with me every step of the way. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Here in Exodus, God gives his people a token. Look, if you would, at chapter 12. We'll look in verse number 3. Exodus chapter 12, verse number 3. The Bible says this, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door, doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw or sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the puritans thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So here, if you know the story, Israel, the nation of Israel, have been in the land of Egypt now 400 years. And Moses was sent by God. God had met with Moses up on the mountain and Mount Sinai there in the burning bush. And Moses was sent by God to come and deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he was sent, he was given some signs, he was given a rod that when he would put it down, it would turn into a serpent. And then he would pick it up and it would turn into a rod again. And then he was given another sign where if he put his hand into his bosom, he could bring it out and it would be leprous. Then he'd put his hand back into his bosom and bring it out, it'd be whole like before. And God had given Moses these signs to go and tell the people of Israel, but also to tell Pharaoh and to tell the Egyptians that God had come to visit his people. God had remembered his people. God had heard their groanings and their cryings. God had heard their murmuring. He had seen their affliction and their toils, and he was coming to deliver his people. Moses went, and he told Aaron and some of the elders of Israel. And immediately they believed him. They knew that God had returned because Moses had the name of God. The I Am said that he was coming to return unto his people. And Israel believed that God was going to do that. They maybe didn't know how or when or how it would happen, but they knew that God had visited his people again. But then Moses went to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh didn't know the Lord. And Pharaoh didn't know God. And he didn't believe the signs because there were some others around Pharaoh that could do signs similar. So he didn't believe them. And here we are after 9 plagues, now on the 10th plague, that God would give signs to Israel. You know, it's interesting. In one portion of Scripture, those signs are called plagues. But in another, in the same instance, the Bible calls them to Israel wonders. You know, God can do plagues and wonders at the same time. And it's all about perspective on which we see it as. To the enemies of God, it's a plague. But to the children of God, it's a wonder. And God's people saw it as a wonder that God would do this to deliver his people out of Egypt. Now the 10th plague was on its way. And the 10th plague involved Israel. All the other plagues, the people of Israel lived in the land of Goshen. And while there was darkness, one of the plagues, Egypt had darkness. That you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. But Goshen had light. Just a miracle. In every plague that God did, God never hurt his people. He would bring it upon the people of Egypt, but the people of Israel were safe and protected from those plagues, and they just saw it as wonders. But here on this 10th plague, this last plague, God was going to involve his people, and he was going to give them a sign. He was going to give them a token, something that they could take with them and remember the promises of God by, remember what God had done by. And so that night, the night of the 10th plague, God told Moses that there was going to be a death angel that would pass through all the land of Egypt. And so the commandment was that, Moses, you tell your people to get a lamb on the first day of the month, and you're going to separate that lamb from the flock. You're going to put them aside, and it's going to be a special lamb. And I want it to be a lamb without spot, without blemish, as perfect to a lamb as you can get. You're going to set it aside and tie it up for 14 days. And then on the night of the 14th day, you're going to take that lamb. You're going to put it to death, and you're going to catch the blood of that lamb in a basin. And that lamb will be eaten by the people in that home. I want you to partake of that lamb. I want you to break bread on that lamb and eat of that lamb. And I want you to do it in haste. Because that night, you're going to have your clothes, your belt, your shoes, your staff. You're going to be ready to go. Because I'm going to deliver you that night. And what I want you to do is take some hyssop and dip it in the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost of your house, on the sides and on the top of that doorpost. I want you to put the blood on your house. And when the death angel comes by, every house that has the blood, that death angel will not go in and kill the firstborn. He'll pass over that house. But if that death angel sees a home with no firstborn into that house, with no blood on the doorpost, the firstborn of that house, whether it be a man, a woman, whether it be a donkey or a camel or a cow, every firstborn of that house will die. And that night, you know, I wonder what it would have been like to be a young person in Israel. Daddy, what are we doing? Well, we're getting this lamb, and we've separated him, and we're going to take his blood and put it on our doorpost. Daddy, we've never done that before. No, we've never done it before, but this is what God told us to do, because there's a death angel coming. Are you sure he's coming? Well, I mean, we've seen God do some crazy things over the last couple weeks, and I think we ought to believe what God's saying, because, I mean, we've seen some different wonders, and this is what the man of God told us to do, and this is the law that God gave us, so we better just obey. Could you imagine that little boy or girl, the firstborn in the home, as they're thinking, Daddy, what'll happen if we don't put the blood out there tonight? Well, they're telling us that there's going to be a death angel that passes through this land, and whoever doesn't have that blood on the doorpost, that firstborn is going to die. I just imagine that firstborn going, let's put some extra blood up there. Let's just make sure it's nice and covered. Let's make sure maybe we don't stay within the lines. We just kind of, you know, put it everywhere out there and just cover it good, Daddy. Make sure they can see that there's blood on this doorpost. Let's put it at the back door. Let's put it at the side door. Let's put it everywhere. Could you imagine that night as you're sitting in your home? I wonder if all around you, you'd hear the death angel visiting other homes. I wonder if you'd hear the sorrow and the pain that that causes when that death angel comes through. And you're sitting there in your home just thinking, boy, I hope he sees the blood. I hope the blood's still there. I hope he knows that we obeyed. We were under the blood. The Bible says that this would be a token to the children of Israel. You know, a token is something that bears the insignia of the Maker. And God said, I want to give you a token of what I'm going to do for you. I want you to put the blood on your doorpost. God's still given us that same token today. And though we don't put the blood on the doorpost of our homes, we all ought to have the blood on the doorpost of our hearts. You know, for 18 years, I lived my life as a lost man. I grew up in a Baptist church. My dad's been a pastor all my life. But 18 years, I heard the same message over and over again, and there was no blood on the doorpost of my heart. And I praise God that one day, the Holy Spirit revealed to me my condition. And that night, January 10th, 2008, the blood was applied to my doorpost. And God, through His Holy Spirit, He washed my heart clean as snow through the blood of Christ. You know, the blood's an amazing thing. When Jesus shed His blood on that cross, the Bible says that He paid for the sins of the whole world. Every sin that any man, boy, woman, anyone would commit, Jesus paid for that sin. You know, that night, for the first time, I realized that my sin account meant not only the sins of my past and not only the sins of my present, but when Jesus died on that cross, He died for all of my sins. He died for the sins of my future. I don't know the sins that I'll commit in my life. They're probably heinous. They're probably wicked. But can I say that those sins have already been covered by the blood? What a tremendous thought that my sins, which are many, they're all washed away. This morning, I wonder if you have the blood applied to your account. There's not a person alive that doesn't have a sin account. The Bible says we're all sinners. But there's not a person alive that Jesus didn't pay the price for their sins. Does that mean that everyone is going to heaven? No. There's a difference between those who go to heaven and those who don't. What's the difference? The blood has to be applied. It has to be applied. And that's not a work that you or I can do. That is the work of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You say, what's the difference between someone who goes to heaven and someone who goes to hell? The blood covers all. But is the blood applied? That's the difference. You say, how do I get that? The Bible says it's a gift. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. You know, the interesting thing about a gift is you can't earn a gift. If you try and work for a gift, it's no longer a gift. It's something you earned. There's a lot of people trying to earn God's gift of salvation today. They think, well, if I can be a good person, if I can go to church, if I get baptized, or if I do, you fill in the blank, then the blood's applied. My friend, that's not how it works. The Holy Spirit of God has a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And whosoever's name is found written in that book of life, Their eternal destiny is heaven. But if your name's not found in that book, the Bible says one day that you'll stand before God and he'll say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." How do I get my name in that book? God has to write it down. You can't write it yourself. God has to write it down. How does he do that? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, God says, I've got a token that I want to give you, and it's the blood. All you've got to do is ask for it. You say, "Preacher, I've asked for it, and I asked for it, and I asked for it, and I just don't know if the blood's applied." I lived that way for a long time. I was unsure of my salvation. You say, "What do I do?" You talk to the Lord about it. You know, I can't give anyone assurance of their salvation. But God can. God can. I've seen him do it. I know he can. The second token that God gave here in Exodus chapter 13, if you'll flip the page. Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 11. Here's the second token that God gave to the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 13, verse number 11. "And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' that thou shalt say unto him, 'By strength of hand the Lord brought us up from Egypt and the house of bondage.' And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, and all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt." The next token that God required of his people, the next token that God gave to his people, was a token of sacrifice. Now, this doesn't make any sense to an unbeliever. But one of the tokens that God gave us is that we would give back our first fruits to God. You say a token is something that you're given that you can use and use it to purchase and use it to do things, and it's not something that's required. Well, yeah, there is something required of us. This token requires that we would give something back to God. The first fruits of everything that is ours, God says, "I want you to give that back to me. This is a token that I've given you." You say, "Preacher, are you talking about tithing this morning?" I'm talking about God's given us some tokens that we can remember him by. Why is it that Christians all over the world this morning will bring their tithes and offerings to the Lord's house? The first part of what's theirs, they'll take and set aside for God and give it to God. And why is it that God will again faithfully bless his people as they obey him? Why is that? Because it's a token that God has given to us. You know, have you ever learned the joy of giving God the first fruits? To the world, it seems like it would be a burden. It seems like it would be a nuisance. It seems like it would be an inconvenience. And people that don't have enough would take what they have and give some back to God with no thought of return. That's the covenant that God has given us. That's the token of God's grace that he's given to us. That the firstborn would belong to the Lord. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you looked in your hand and saw a token that God had put into your hands? When's the last time you thought about maybe something that maybe was something hard or something where you just needed some direction and or needed you needed help remembering? And you looked and said, maybe you looked up and said, there's that bow in the sky. I remember that God's good. When's the last time you looked and said, you know, things aren't really shaping out the way I think they should, but I know the blood's been applied. When's the last time you looked and said, you know, I things aren't always going the way I think they should, but Lord, here again is a token of your goodness to me. God wants to give us tokens, continual reminders that he's good. I want to tell you a story that I hope will kind of convey the message this morning. We were praying about coming to Southeast Alaska, to Juneau, and God had called us to be missionaries here, and my family and I. And, you know, the way that kind of happened was I was the assistant pastor of my church in San Diego for 7 years, and I was reading a prayer letter from a missionary in Alaska, and he said, pray for us. He said, we have 4 communities that have gospel-preaching churches and buildings, parsonage, just and people ready to come to church, but no one to pastor in these 4 communities. And I began to think, where in the world is there such a great need for pastors and ministers to be able to serve the Lord? So I began to pray every day that God would send more laborers to Alaska and fill those needs of those people. And as I began to pray, I didn't think much about it, but the Lord kept bringing up in my prayer life that burden over and over again. And every day I'd pray, not because I had it written down on a prayer list, but because when I would go and do my devotions and pray with the Lord, he would bring up that burden. And I'd ask God, Lord, would you send somebody to those communities that don't have pastors in Alaska? And about 2 months later, we had our missions conference. And God, through that missions conference, called us to be missionaries. And I asked the Lord where he wanted us to go. And he brought up that burden that I'd been praying about in Alaska. That's why the Lord had put that burden on my heart. And so I said, Lord, you know, I'll go anywhere. You just tell us where. You just show us where we'll go. And I went and talked to my wife. That's a good thing to do when you're called to Alaska. I talked to Ruth and just said, Ruth, I think the Lord is leading us to be missionaries in Alaska. And she said, John, I'll go anywhere with you. Your calling is my calling. But she said, I really just don't know if I can do the cold. She grew up in Mexico City, a warm climate all her life, had never spent a winter in the snow. And she was just trying to be honest and, you know, forthright with me. And I appreciate that. So I thought, well, either I married the wrong wife for the calling that God's put on my life, or I'm missing the calling that God's put on. I mean, something's not adding up here. So I began to pray on a plane ride up here to a men's meeting. I began to pray that God would open a door in southern Alaska where it's not as cold for my wife. And I went to a men's meeting and met. I didn't tell people why I was there, but I met a pastor who had been praying for 10 years that God would send pastors and missionaries to Southeast Alaska. And it was the answer to my prayers because I was praying, Lord, maybe there'd be a need somewhere in southern Alaska where it's not as cold. We met, and I knew that God was leading us this direction. But while we were on deputation, I asked the Lord for a token, a sign that God was leading us here. And, you know, I think that's something that we look down upon sometimes. Like, well, brother, bless God. And bless God is always a bad thing. But bless God, why don't you just trust God by faith? And I know we should all just trust God by faith. And I wish I had that faith to be able to trust God and just take him at his word. But I asked God for a sign, a token. Gideon asked God for a sign, a token. Joshua asked God for a sign. Moses was given a sign. I don't think we're too far off to say, Lord, would you just give me another token that I'm right where you want? I don't think we're too far off to be able to ask the Lord that. And so I said, Lord, if this is really what you want for us, would you just show us that this is your will? When we knew that the Lord was kind of leading us towards Southeast Alaska, we immediately began to think of travel. And, you know, here it's either boat or plane. And so I'm not a pilot. I really didn't want to spend the time or money to become a pilot. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm not a very smart person. Tests scare me and everything like that. So we prayed about a boat. And we talked to a missionary up in Palmer. And I said, you know, what would be a good boat for Southeast Alaska to be able to travel around and reach people? And he said, well, Hughescraft are really, really good boats for the area. You know, and if you have something else, please don't be offended by that. That's just the counsel I received. And so we were praying that God would give us a boat to be able to reach people in Southeast Alaska. And I was reading George Mueller's autobiography. And George Mueller lived back in the 1800s. He had an orphanage with 1,150 students. He never asked one person for anything. All he would do is pray and trust God by faith that God would do it. And God did. 1,150 students he fed every single day. God fed them. And in his book, he talked a little bit about how that he believed that if business people would give towards the work of God, that God would bless those businesses. And I read that book, and I kind of got excited about it. And I was praying one day just saying, Lord, you know, I pray that you would give us a boat for missions work in Southeast Alaska, if that's what you're calling us to do, if that's what you're leading us to do. And the Holy Spirit kind of put on my heart to call Hughescraft and see if they would help us with a boat for missions in Alaska. And so I called the company one day, and my wife was in the back seat, and we were driving to a meeting, and I talked to the sales manager, and I didn't quite know how to ask, but I just said, do you guys give boats away to charity? And he said, no. And I said, okay, well, you know, we're missionaries going to Southeast, and God's called us to go, and we were just wanting to see if maybe you'd help us with transportation there in Southeast Alaska. We've heard that you guys make good boats for the area. And so the sales manager just said, well, let me take down your information, and I'll get that to the right person. And I kind of thought that was the end of that, you know, sure, take down our information, get it the right person. That typically means that filing cabinet where it never comes back, you know. And but the next day I got a phone call, and it was actually, the day I called was October 31st, coming up here real soon, a couple years ago this was. And the manager, the owner called the next day and said, what's this that you need a boat for missions in Alaska? And I said, well, you know, God's called us to go to Southeast Alaska. We heard you guys make good boats for that area. She said, you know, that's right. And I said, I don't know if y'all are a faith-based company, but the Lord impressed on my heart that I needed to call you and see if you would help us reach the people of Southeast Alaska. And she said, as a matter of fact, she said, we are a faith-based company. I said, really? She said, yeah, do you know our first mission statement? I said, no, ma'am, I have no idea. She said, our first mission statement is that we seek to honor God first and foremost in everything we do as a business. She said, did you know when you called yesterday, the owners were meeting to discuss that first mission statement? Wow. I said, ma'am, I had no idea. And she said, well, why don't you come see us? I think we're supposed to have a part in what God's called you to do. And so we went and met with them. And the boat we were interested in was $140,000. And, you know, boats around here are not cheap, y'all know. And We didn't have anything. And we went and met with them, and they just said after the meeting, well, we'll pray about it, and we'll let you know. And we kept going on deputation, kept moving forward towards Southeast Alaska. Just said, Lord, you know, your will be done. In January, we were in a meeting in Oklahoma. It was a church planters conference. We got to this meeting, and on Tuesday, the morning of the meeting, I got an email from Hughescraft. They said, we here at Hughescraft are excited about what the Lord's called you to do. And they said, thank you for allowing us to partner in spreading the gospel through Southeast Alaska. They said, we'd like to go ahead and give you dealer cost on the boat, our cost on the boat. So the price went from $140,000 to about $90,000. And then they said, we'd also like to give you $50,000 of our own cash. They said, we tithe everything we make to the Lord. And they said, back in 08, when the economy went bad, we almost had to shut the doors. But we promised that we would tithe on everything we make as a business. And God has tremendously blessed our business. They said, we'd like to give you $50,000 towards the boat. So then we needed $40,000. We didn't have anything. And on the third night of that meeting, they asked us to come and present our need, what we needed. I let them know that we needed $40,000. And I thought, well, if you know, we raise maybe $1,000 or $2,000, that'd be a good start, you know. But that night, $42,000 was given towards the boat ministry. And God did a miracle in 3 days. And you know what it was? It was a token of God's faithfulness. It's something I can look out in my yard and say, yep, I know I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Now, I don't worship that boat, but I worship the God who gave me that boat. And I thank God for his tokens that he puts in our lives. My question to you this morning is, when's the last time God gave you a token? Now, I'm not talking about God gave you a $140,000 boat, okay? But when's the last time God did something special for you where it bore his image and he just showed you that he's still God, that he still loves you, that he still cares about you, and that you're right where you're supposed to be? You know, I think as God's people, we should desire every now and again that he would put a token in our hands. When's the last time God gave you a token? Do you have any tokens in your hand? Can you look back? We were talking about this morning, some of the older folks in here who can look back on their life and say, God did this, and God did this, and God did this, and God did this. And I hope some of our young people learn to watch God as he does some things and think, boy, I know I'm right where I'm supposed to be because I've seen God do this. I've seen God do this. And this life is all about seeing God's image in what he does for us. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have any tokens from the Lord? You know, if you're going to have a token from God, the first one should be the blood. Without the blood, the Bible says that God, he doesn't even know us. He'll one day say to us, without the blood, depart from me. I never knew you. But if you have the blood, you're his child. And God will give his child tokens to show them that he's their father. When's the last time God gave you a token? Let's praise God for his tokens this morning. Father, I don't know what it is that you're doing in the lives of these people. Lord, I believe we can spend hours and hours and hours this morning talking about the things that you've done for us. You're a great God and a great King this morning. Lord, I worship you for that blood that's been applied to my heart. God, I don't know where I'd be without the blood. Lord, I thank you for giving me the tokens in my life that show me that I have a loving Father who watches over his children. Lord, I don't know when the last time for some people that token has been put in their hand. where they can look at it and say, I've got a good God. I've got a wonderful Savior. I've got a wonderful friend. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to have some tokens that bear the image of Christ. Lord, you're a wonderful Savior and a wonderful friend. God, I just want you to know that I want more tokens from you. I want more signs that you're with me, God. I'm so forgetful. I need them every day, Lord. I need reminders of who my God is. And Lord, I want to see your miracles. God, I want to see your signs and your wonders. I want to see you do more, God. Don't just stop with us, Father, but would you do more? Not that we're ungrateful, but I know how wicked I am, Lord. I need to see it again and again and again and again. Lord, I pray for this church, for these people, that you would give them your tokens of the grace of God. Lord, we love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.